This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode 119. What did you watch this week? My name's Mike.
Well, you didn't even ask me beforehand what episode number it was. Usually you do. Usually you're like, okay, what are we up to? Or is this episode 118? Or yeah. And I get to mess with you. But
I know.
Tonight you're just like,
I can't even say.
It's 119.
I can't even say my notes because my notes say 115. I haven't changed that part.
Holy crap.
Notes yet. Yeah. But we haven't had a show in, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
After you made a good move and forgot to update episode 117.
Yep.
And then they got, so they
so
got
then a, they got a double, a 117 double shot, 118.
Yeah. And then
you were out of cell range.
Camping for a week and no cell reception zone in Medway, Maine. It was awesome.
And then the next week I was down in New Orleans, Louisiana.
You flew out like the day after I got back or something.
Yeah, so we had Sunday no morning at like 5:30.
We had no time to record.
None.
Yeah.
So now we're here.
And I hadn't watched anything all week anyways.
Right, and I didn't get a chance to watch anything while I was down there because it was either sightseeing or doing the work conference that I was there for. So,
but I got a few things to chat about.
New Orleans is not that great of a city.
My wife's uncle lives down there, and they love it.
Yeah.
Like, they love the whole scene and everything, yep. So.
Two of the people that I went with were like, oh, I can't wait to bring my wife down here.
Yeah.
It's kind of filthy.
Yeah.
It smells like a sewer.
That's probably from the hurricane, but that was like 10 years ago now, wasn't it? 8 years ago?
Five.
It was a while ago.
Yeah.
It was a while ago. More than five. Because Irvin went down. My ex-stepfather went down, had a stroke while he was down there.
Yeah.
And I was still married to my first wife. And that was 6 years ago we got divorced.
Mm. Yeah.
So
it was quite a while ago. They should have had
we're both sitting in front of, like, computer-type devices, Louisiana.
And I actually was on a riverboat tour where the guy on the way back told us the entire story.
Hurricane Katrina was 13 years ago.
Holy God. Yeah. That was a long time.
It was.
Huh.
Anyways, Medway, Maine is really, really nice.
Yeah.
It's midway between Bangor and Houlton, by the way, which I think is hilarious.
That's a dad joke right there.
Well, yeah, of course it is. I'm a dad. I've sired three offsprings.
Okay.
Right?
Yes, there were three of them.
But we had a good time.
Good.
Yeah, we had a good time. We went to Canada one day. Did a Canada day. In the Heartland, New Brunswick, the world's longest covered bridge.
What was that midway between?
It was not midway. I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
The only reason why I know it's midway between Houlton and Bangor is because when you go to get on the interstate, it says, like, Houlton this way, Bangor this way, and then the mileage is pretty much the same.
Oh. So it's not like a famous thing that they're famous for?
No, it's just I noticed it on the sign that I made a really bad joke, and then my wife laughed, and my son rolled his eyes, and Wesley had no idea, and Addison was on the way back, couldn't hear me. So, yeah.
I like how you say my son and then Wesley. Like, Wesley's not your son.
Fair enough. My oldest son is what I meant to say. I left out the word oldest. Okay. Anyways. I watch stuff and things.
I've watched a few stuff and things myself.
I watched more movies than TV, I think.
I watch TV that I will be glossing over a lot of.
That's pretty much... Well, all right, so...
I had more news and trailers than anything else because
I got a lot of trailers.
You know, San Diego Comic Con came out. We got a lot of stuff. Although I've got some trailers on here that, like, I wrote down the trailer and I'm like, I don't remember what that is. So now I'm gonna have to go look it up before we talk about it.
Yeah,
obviously it didn't make that big of an impression on me.
Right.
So TV shows. Right.
So
Reverie had a couple of episodes.
I haven't watched any of them. Probably done.
The end.
Oh, really?
No, I mean, I watched them, but it's definitely a background show now because, you know, whatever. You know, one of them, the girl was a ballerina, and she was crippled. So she would escape into her reverie to be a ballerina in there, but, you know, she was actually escaping into the reverie so that she could see the child that she had to give up. But, of course, the twist was that in the outside world, she was having heart failure. So they had to get her out before her heart failed. Typical reverie. And then another one that dealt with torturing a small child. Trapping him inside of a reverie to torture him for information.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, wait, if they trapped the kid in, how did she get the kid out? If the kid doesn't know
he's
there.
It was a rare glitch in the system where she overlapped into his... The military was using reverie as a type of interrogation thing where they basically trap the person's mind in there so they could torture them without leaving physical marks. Yep. I'll continue with it. It's not going to get continued.
It's going to get canceled, you think?
I believe so.
So, my wife was watching a show, and I sat down and I watched a little bit of it with her. And then we watched another one, and then I got hooked, and now I've watched all 16 episodes of Queer Eye on Netflix.
I was going to say, if it involves the word real or lives,
no,
this podcast is
no,
done.
But it was Queer Eye, and it was amazing. I loved it.
Reality shows like that
I
do have a
get over
hook to them.
How much I enjoyed it. And I think it's this. The five, not actors, but the five...
Gentlemen?
The Fab Five, as they call them, the five queer guys.
Yep.
On the show, one of them, Jonathan, the hairdresser guy, he's like the effeminate, really overly effeminate gay guy. I don't know how to say this without being offensive, apparently.
Oh, I'm enjoying.
Thanks.
Yep.
None of the others were, but like... I don't know. They just all seem very genuine and nice. And when they're talking to the people that they're giving the makeovers to, even when they say something like that's kind of like mean, it's not really mean. It's just the truth. And they say it in a way that's super nice. I don't know. It's just kind of weird. Just there's something endearing about the five guys that make them all exceptionally likable. And then when you watch them, it's hilarious. And when you watch their interactions with the people, it's hilarious. I don't know. It was really for me, I guess it was feel good TV. And when I'm going through such a high stress situation with work and everything right now, I think that's why I've avoided a lot of different shows is because I don't want to deal with drama. I don't want to deal with bullshit.
Fair enough.
And so like, I think maybe that's why it hooked me in and I just blew right through them. And even like when I started watching with Kate, she was already on the second season. So I went back and watched the first season by myself. Because there was just something about it that was just like, like I said, it was just like feel good TV. It was mindless, but I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I'm surprised and I'm excited to say the third season's coming back next year. So I've never seen the original run on Bravo or whatever channel it was. I think I looked up and said it was Bravo. I never watched any of that. But just this new run.
Back then it was called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, right?
Right, and that's basically what it still is right now. It's just called Queer Eye now, but it's the same synopsis. They give a straight guy a makeover. Someone nominated, and it was based out of Atlanta, Georgia, so everything was in the Georgia area. So, but yeah, it was good. It was entertaining, and I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I'm not sold, but I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad that it could fill that void in your heart that. Drama I can't fill right now.
I'm just going to take it and say yes. Yes, it did.
That's good. Sometimes we need that bit of escape.
Yeah, and it was good. It was genuinely enjoyable. I did start watching another Netflix series.
Okay.
It's called Secret City. I've watched two episodes.
Yeah, I breezed over that one. I didn't end up watching it. Is it any good?
Yeah, so far. I watched it simply because... It stars that Anna Torv.
Yes. Love her.
And she was in Fringe.
Yes.
She was on, she's Dr. Wendy Carr on Mindhunter on Netflix.
Doesn't matter. She was in Fringe.
She was in Fringe. So that's the reason why I watched it.
She was Olive.
Yeah. Here's what's funny. You know, on Fringe, she had a fake American accent. In this show, she uses her natural Australian voice.
Nice.
And I didn't realize she was Australian. So I looked it up and I'm like, oh, she just sounds odd with that fake accent.
Nope, that's a real one.
But the premise of the series, I'll just read the synopsis because it's easier than me explaining it. Beneath the flaccid facade of Canberra, amidst rising tension between China and America, senior political journalist Harriet Dunkley uncovers a secret of an interlocked conspiracy putting innocent lives at danger, including her own. It takes place in Australia. It's kind of like a murder mystery, basically.
Is that freeze?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is so hot right now, guys. It is muggy as crap.
Yeah, the humidity is what's really killing it.
Humidity is at like 80% right now, and it refuses to rain.
That's what it was every day that I was down in Louisiana, except it would rain, and then it would still be humid afterwards.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I watched the first couple episodes. It's pretty good. I wouldn't call it addictive TV. I mean, I've taken a break from it, but it is something I'll return to. What was it? I watched, this was frustrating. I got that Amazon Prime for a month, as many of you may know, because my son got me such a wonderful gift. And I started watching Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
Yep.
The first episode, the pilot, was so amazingly funny and brilliant.
Yeah, you love that thing.
Awesome.
I'm sensing a butt.
Second episode, nowhere near as good, but still kind of good. Third episode, it's like it went downhill, and I just have no want or need to watch 4, 5, or 6.
Wow.
That's probably why it was canceled.
Went downhill that quickly, huh?
That's probably why it was canceled.
Wow.
I just couldn't overcome how awesome the pilot was.
And the rest of it just couldn't live up to the expectations.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
What'd you watch?
Caught up on Preacher. It's still good this season. It is good this season. You know, we got the whole thing where Jesse basically, he doesn't have a soul, so he can't use Genesis.
Yeah.
But he made a blood pact with his grandmother.
Yeah.
And we're talking like old school voodoo magic type. Like it's on a handkerchief with his blood. And they're talking about the ramifications. Like if he tries to break it, he'll be dead. He'll be ripped in half. You know, they showed a flashback of a guy who wanted to get his wife out of her blood pack, so he gave them all this money, and they gave him the handkerchief, and he's like, huh, and he ripped it in half, and he looks over, and his wife's ripped in half. So, yeah, pretty gross. We got to be introduced to the tombs, which apparently back in Jesse's day when he was like 12 or 13 or so, he was the ringmaster of the tombs, and it was old underground catacombs type thing, and they would take people that they deemed as sinners, and they would say, you owe us your soul. You can fight to keep your soul, but the loser loses their soul. And it was fights to the death, weapons, chainsaws, stuff like that. Interesting stuff. If this show was on, like, Cinemax or Showtime, where they could actually really get into the blood and violence and stuff, I think it'd be even better. But so far, this season has been a lot better than the last season. I'm really enjoying it compared to the last one.
I caught up on Cloak and Dagger.
Up through episode 8.
I don't know.
The most recent episode that I watched was episode 8, and it was when they were memorializing the day that
their
respective.
So I'm caught up on Cloak and Dagger.
Yep. So I've got episode 5, 6, 7, and 8 that I watched. So I'm caught up as well.
I had to watch 3 episodes to be caught up.
Yep.
I watched the one where they memorialize because it's the one where like she finds out her dad beat her mom.
Yeah.
So he's not a nice guy. So she took the bribe instead of trying to, like, you know, her whole goal was to untarnish his good name. And then she found out, oh, my dad's a piece of crap.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to take the money instead.
Yeah. Her character arc is still going a little bit south.
It is going way south. But we got to see how Cloak got his cloak.
Yeah.
I really like
that group that his dad's with.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Really, like, I thought at first it was just going to be a straight up old school, you know, we were all in the army together, but these guys are legit.
It's more to it than that.
Yeah,
it's way more to it than that. But I don't know, I'm digging it. I'm really, really digging it.
It's a great show, isn't it?
The only thing,
the lady cop.
Yes.
She's really, like, I can't wait to see the next episode.
Yeah.
You know, because at the end of this one, she basically, she found out that the dirty cop, you know, she got him on tape saying that he killed Tyrone's brother.
Yes. Dad Cloak used his cloak to fool him, especially on the anniversary.
Did a really good job, too.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, had the whole sweater build up. But
yeah,
now she's screwed because he's getting off.
Well, no. What we know is that he confessed. It's been recorded. They arrested him.
Yeah.
And she goes to her boyfriend's house and finds him dead, shoved in his fridge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the preview for the next one.
Oh, I didn't see. I didn't watch the preview.
Oh, yeah. Preview for the next one.
Yep.
He is out in a bar with other cops and just starts kicking the shit out of her. Like, there's no subtext or anything. He just punches her, gets her down on the floor, and they're all pretty much cheering. So, yeah, she kind of kicked a hornet's nest, not realizing he wasn't the only bad cop.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It is. It's a great show, though.
In that same episode, she makes reference to her friend Misty.
Yeah.
So they've made two references now, Luke Cage made a reference to her, and now they've made a reference to Luke Cage. So it's reciprocating mentions. That's kind of neat.
Yeah, I really like that. There's
two episodes left this season.
Yes.
Dagger's really gotten to use, like, they both have established that how to use the powers well.
She's learned it a lot quicker.
Yeah, she did. She most certainly did. I think getting stuck in the kind of like that loop zone with the guy, that was kind of neat. It was almost like a Groundhog's Day episode, but not quite.
Yep.
But she learned how to throw her daggers and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When she, like, flings it right in his head, and he's like, when'd you learn to do that? She's like, whatever.
Yeah.
That was a very interesting episode.
And, like, I don't know, they're together, and she just makes the dagger appear to cut, like, say, use the pocket knife, she's to cut something or whatever. She's like, wow, you really is.
Didn't she go down to the side of that guy's car, too? That's how she cut off the power to the facility that she was in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's definitely
going on
the offensive. Yeah.
Two episodes left this season. I'm enjoying it. Like, for the channel it's on,
it's surprising.
Freeform. It's surprising, like, how, like, kind of violent it is almost, and just, yeah.
Got some really edgy stuff, too.
Yeah.
You know?
It's good.
Yeah. I really enjoy it.
It's good.
Trying to think if there was anything else. No. Oh, Tyrone's girlfriend there. She had that whole, one of the episodes, they had that whole little side thing where she's there with her aunt, was it?
Yeah, and she's
doing the tarot reading with regular playing cards.
Lots of voodoo stuff going on,
She's talking about how, like, the end is coming, and one of them has to die, but the only way that everyone can be saved is if the two of them come together. You know, she doesn't know that it's specifically those two, but she knows that it's, like, a force of light and darkness.
Right. Well, she thinks it's him.
Yeah.
Because if you look at her mantle, she has all those, like, voodoo dolls that are homemade.
One of them kind of looks like him.
Well, no. One of them is a 3D printer version of him.
Fair enough.
Because remember that whole episode, they show, like, the 3D printer running, and then finally at the end of the episode, what it is.
That's right.
It's a figure of him.
Right.
3D printers are kind of boss now, huh?
They really are.
Yeah.
It's one of those technologies that, like, I don't know, this won't even do it justice, but, like, DVD, that kind of snuck in at first. You know, when DVDs first came out, people were like, who needs them? And then, like, they crept in, and then the next thing you know, they just kind of took over.
Yeah, like I just had a thing on the news tonight about 3D printers and how, I think it was October 1st in some states, the plans for guns is going to be released.
So, yeah.
Like, people are worried about terrorists or criminals or whatever who can't legally buy a gun can now just print one.
Yeah. 3D print a gun.
Yeah, so. Anyways.
I've been watching a show, and it's definitely a background show. I have zero interest in it going on any longer than it will.
Yeah.
But it's one of those that I saw on Hulu, and I believe it's an ABC show. Maybe it's an NBC. It's called Take Two.
Okay.
It's complete fluff. It's a one-hour show. It's kind of like Castle. So you have Rachel Bilson is the actress who went into rehab.
I saw the trailer.
Basically fucked up her whole life, and now she wants to get a job. She wants to get a role as a private investigator, so she's learning to be a private investigator through this guy who's been a private investigator for years, has history with cops on the force, etc. Mm-hmm. And they solve crimes and stuff, and they have wacky sidekicks, and it's definitely nothing that I would ever push anybody to watch, but, you know, I'm like, oh, look, there's three episodes. I'll put that on the background while I play a game.
I've watched a few episodes of Happy Ending. I laugh a lot.
I love that show.
It's great.
I love that show.
I've watched a few episodes of Fighting Man, the ankle. And I've watched a few episodes of MASH since they released every episode on Hulu.
Yeah.
I like that's movies now.
Well, I've got two shows.
All right.
One that you'll be able to join in on. One of them, the CW released a new show that I mentioned a couple of podcasts back. It's called The Outpost.
Okay.
And the commercial for it kind of looked like Into the Badlands.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember seeing it. Okay, I didn't know that was
out. It talks about a girl whose her entire village was wiped out. And so now she's on the offensive. She's grown up, and she's going back for revenge against the people that did it.
Yeah.
You should check out the first episode.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It is dog shit.
Oh, wow.
It is complete dog shit. Like, I'm watching it, and I pause it, and I actually, like, went online to read and see if I was just, like, did I fall into a wormhole or something? And people were like, holy Jesus, how is this so terrible? This is complete garbage. You really should watch the first episode so that you can understand. Don't ever watch another episode. I couldn't make it through the whole first episode. Oh, geez. I got through about half of it.
You're selling it so well to me.
It's one of those, like, it's so bad that you got to check it out just so that you can go, I can't believe that they touted this as a song. Like, I thought maybe it was one of those shows that comes out in Canada 3 years ago or in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, let's just pick it up as a filler. No, they produced this. They put hard-earned money into this show. And I don't know where it went because it wasn't on the special effects, wasn't on the costumes, it wasn't on acting for any of the actors. Dude,
wow,
it's so terrible.
That's harsh.
It's so terrible that it's laughable. But I would never watch another episode, ever, ever, ever. Like, it's god-awful. You really have to check out the first episode, dude.
The Outpost?
The Outpost on the CW. Seriously, dude. Like, see how far you can get into it. Like, legitimately.
They got it. It's it. You know what? IMDb's got it at 4.4 out of 10.
That's generous. And it's had, like, three episodes now, so maybe the second or third one got better. Wow. Oh, my God. I was so looking forward to it. I was like, cool, another fantasy sword fighting kind of. Oh, no, it's terrible. One of the guards that, like, comes to her rescue is named Spears. He's like, my name's Spears. She's like, that sounds like a name that a 13-year-old would give himself. After he says, I gave myself that name when I was 13. It's terrible.
I guess she didn't have it wrong.
So, yeah. The other show that I will say, I finished Luke Cage Season 2.
Oh, okay.
So you can get in on this.
All right, yeah.
The one thing that bothered me the most this season,
all right,
was the really creepy, creepy relationship going on between Shades and Mariah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, everything else was cool. You know, the whole we're right. trying to take back Harlem, we're mad at the Stokes. Like, I got all that stuff.
Yeah.
The voodoo and the murder in the end by, you know, whatever it was, like razor blades in the mouth. Like, I even looked it up on IMDb. I'm like...
Mariah died, you mean?
Yeah.
No, she got poisoned by her daughter when her daughter kissed her on the lips.
Oh, was this a poison?
Yeah.
Okay.
Her daughter's Nightshade in the comics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, her daughter kissed her on the lips and killed her.
Oh, see, I missed that part.
Yeah.
I just saw her sit there going...
It took a while for it to take effect, yeah.
Gotcha. But no, I looked it up online just to see if I was being, like... So, the guy who plays Shades is 42 in real life. The one who plays Mariah... Alfred Woodard is 66.
Yeah.
So there's a 24-year age gap there.
That's creepy.
That's enough for a mother-son type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it seemed like that sometimes on screen. You know, she'd be like, oh, I'll take care of you. Oh, you're my boy.
Yeah, it was kind of creepy.
It kind of gave me the willies, like, watching it. He was a cool character this time.
Yeah, a lot different, right?
Yep.
I mean, a lot different. The character was a lot different. Iron Fist was much different, wasn't he?
Oh, my God. He was great.
Makes you look forward to season two.
It really does. Yeah, I'm really... And they've already teased the yellow mask for season two.
Yes. Interesting how they made him the bad guy, but not really the bad... Like, in order to protect Harlem, he's got to rule Harlem.
Yeah, because... That was the thing, is he was like, you should just burn it down, burn it to the ground. And I'm like, yeah, let's see if that sticks. And then he's sitting there in the suit and tie up on the balcony looking out. And I'm like, yeah, this isn't going to work well.
No. He's got to protect Harlem. He's got to become Harlem become the new boss that keeps people out.
Because in the beginning of the season, he had that whole, you know, I can't be blasted. I can't be burned. I can't be broken.
Right.
And then at the end, he says the same thing.
Yeah.
but it's more sinister because he's like, I'm the king shit around here now. Everyone else is gone.
And it's hard to figure out, okay, so is he a bad guy? Is he not a bad guy? All we know is that he is cutting deals with the real bad guys just to keep them out of Harlem.
Because he's basically saving his area by trashing the rest of the world.
Right. If he doesn't become the boss and protect Harlem, then somebody else will become the boss. He'll have to fight them anyway.
Because, I mean, Mariah went to jail for 2 days and you saw all the crime that was running rampant without her around.
Right.
There was some good violence in this show.
Yeah, there was a good...
The one that keeps sticking out to me was towards the end there when he's, like, fighting off all the guys who think that they can take him down.
Yeah.
And that one guy, he, like... kicks him in the ankle and snaps.
That's the other thing too, is like, if you notice by the end of near the end when he becomes the boss bad guy, when he's fighting people, he's more vicious.
Oh yeah,
he doesn't hold back.
Nope,
he's not just bitch slapping everybody, because that's what it looks like he does.
With
open hand slap. Yeah, he's just like, face,
boom,
and they fall down. No, now he's really like, he's making people pay.
And then at the end there, when he's standing on the balcony, and they're like, "She's here." And you think he's talking about Nightshade because she walks in, pumps up her tits.
Yeah.
And he's like, tell Claire to go home.
Yep. Oh, and with Nightshade, like you said, when they announced Mariah's will and she leaves the bar to Luke.
Yeah. She wasn't very happy about that.
Pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she finally felt that she had the legacy, you know, because now all the Stokes are dead. She made sure to say that.
She's a Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, this was a very enjoyable season. I liked it a lot. It was still political.
Way better than last season.
Definitely not as political
way
as the
better
last
than
season.
Last season.
Bushmaster, like, I felt like Bushmaster came in strong and then just kind of like...
went out on a whimper.
Yeah, he kind of disappeared.
Kind of like, he got beat up too much, so he's going to go back to Jamaica, wherever he came from, yeah.
Yeah, they stabilized him, and that was about it.
Yeah. All right, talk about some movies I saw.
Okay.
I saw Escape Plan 2 with Sylvester Stallone. All right, moving on.
Was Escape Plan 1 the one where he was, like, in jail or something?
It was him and Schwarzenegger breaking out of a high-security prison.
Yeah. So they made a second one?
They did, just with Stallone. They got a third one coming out.
Why?
That's what I want to know. This wasn't very good. I'll just leave it at that. It wasn't very good. I watched a movie on Netflix called Mohawk. Well, more realistically or more accurately, I mean, I watched 20 minutes of a movie on Netflix called Mohawk. It is absolutely terrible.
Okay.
It's about the Mohawk Indians in Canada during the War of 1812, and there might be more to it than that. It sucked. So I just said screw it and stopped it.
Okay.
I watched A Quiet Place.
Oh, I want to see that one. There's a few of them that have come out recently that I want to see. That's one, Super Troopers 2, and Ready Player One. I want to see all three of those.
A Quiet Place was okay.
Yeah? I heard that from somebody else.
Okay.
Do you think it would have been better if you had seen it in the theater surrounded by people?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. I enjoyed it. The one illogical thing was any noise... I don't want to ruin it for you, though.
I know that any noise brings these creatures that hunt you down.
But apparently if you snap your finger next to your ear when you're deaf, it doesn't, I guess. But it only happened once, and it was only three times that she snapped her fingers in one scene. I didn't hate the movie. It was decent. You know, you have to be able to read the subtitles because they're doing a lot of American Sign Language.
Okay.
The premise in the story is cool.
Yeah.
Feels more like an episode of The Twilight Zone or The Outer Limits.
Black Mirror.
Or Black Mirror. What I think it might have been better at that than a full-length movie.
Gotcha.
But I'll wait for you to watch it, and we'll talk about it some more.
Okay.
So you'll have to red box it this week or something.
Yeah.
But I didn't hate it. I enjoyed it. I think, you know, if you like a good suspenseful movie, it's absolutely worth checking out.
Okay.
I also watched Truth or Dare. It's a Blumhouse movie. Kids in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Brought to
the one where they all have that really creepy smile on their faces when they're about to, like, kill themselves.
As they describe the movie, it's like they had a weird Snapchat filter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like this.
But what it is it's when the they get the demon possessed them to make them say truth or dare or took them over or whatever.
Gotcha.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good movie. I thought they had a cool storyline in it as far as, like, why what was happening to them and how they put it around the truth or dare game.
Mm-hmm.
They made it make sense.
Okay.
If you will, if you want to have some supernaturalness in there. Cool ending. But yeah, I enjoyed that. I give that one a hard sell. If you had to sit down and watch either Truth or Dare or A Quiet Place, you only had time to watch one, I would watch Truth or Dare.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched this movie on Netflix called Caliber.
It's okay.
Tremendous.
Hmm.
It's two friends go hunting in the Scottish Highlands. Let's just say things don't go well.
Do they end up getting hunted?
No.
Oh.
Well, yes and no. Okay. Stephen King gives it a high praise.
Mm.
And as a fellow Mainer, I also give it high praise. Now, it was a great flick. I really care. About an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
I actually would probably watch this over Truth or Dare or A Quiet Place. It's a great flick.
Nice.
Yeah. Really, really enjoyable flick.
So is this what your list is? You're like gradually amping up. And now that was a great flick, but I would watch this new flick over that one.
Yeah. No, not really.
Okay.
The wife and I went and watched Mamma Mia, Here I Go Again at the theaters last night.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Okay.
If you liked the first one, you'll like this one.
Okay.
Plain and simple. If you like musicals, you'll probably like it, especially if you like the first one. It's goofy. There's lots of coincidences. The music's all ABBA, and it's great. I mean, I just, it's
fun. How did they find more ABBA hits? Like, didn't they use them all up in the first movie?
No, they used some new ones, but they also recycled some from the first movie. Any musical sequel is going to have music from the first one and the second one. The storyline in this is that in the second one, it's all about Donna and her friends showing up, and her daughter shows up, and anyway.
Now we get to see the flashback to when she was Lily James from Baby Driver.
Yeah, but in this one, you get to, it's this two corresponding storylines is Amber Heard's character, I can't think of her name, but Donna's daughter, reopening the hotel on Greece.
Amber Heard?
Not Amber Heard. Who's the actress in that?
Amanda Seyfried?
Yeah, Amanda Seyfried, okay. Sorry. Anyways, we see Amanda Seyfried, Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Her character died a year ago in the storyline.
Oh, okay.
She has a cameo near the end. Oh, I might have
as a force ghost?
No.
Okay.
But anyways, so Amanda Seyfried's character is reopening her mom's hotel, and it's leading up to the grand reopening of the new Belladonna or whatever. And then the corresponding storyline is Donna graduating college and then coming to the island for the first time and how she meets the three guys that could be her daughter's dads because somehow she hooks up with three guys in a close enough period of time. This kind of explains how that happened.
Oh, okay.
And there's some good comedy, and I enjoyed it. If you like the first one, you'll definitely like this one.
Okay.
I watched a documentary on Monopoly on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
It was very good. It gave us the history of the game, and then it kind of showed us, like, the Monopoly World Championships, how people take this game very seriously. We actually got to see, I think, the 2017 Monopoly World Championships and all that shit. There's a new version of Monopoly. Like, it's the standard version.
The Here and Now one?
I don't know. But it's got a red die.
Oh.
And what the red die does, it's supposed to speed the game along. So you roll all three at once if you want to play with the red die. And three of the sides, I think, has a 1, 2, or 3 on it. So if you get triples, like if you roll all three, like three threes, you can go to any unowned property you want and buy it. You just anywhere on the board.
Interesting.
If you get Mr. Monopoly Guy, then it directs you, you count your turn. So if you rolled 8 and then the Mr. Monopoly Guy, you take your 8, and then you go to the next open property to buy. Or if all the properties are sold, you take your turn, and you, whatever property you land on, if someone owns that, you pay rent on that. And then you go to the very next property that someone owns and pay rent on that.
Oh.
So, like, if there's two hotels, you can end up paying, like, $1,800 straight away. So it speeds the game along. I had never heard of that or seen that until this.
It's funny. I just listened to a podcast today. It's called The Funny History or something like that. And it does, like, the backstory behind popular things. And this one was about Monopoly.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they talked about how it was first invented back in, like, 1904.
Yeah, this movie goes through the history of it as well, how, like...
It was called, like, the Landlord Game or something?
A bunch of different variations, yeah, of how it got to, and, like, how it took 30 years to make a 30-mile trip from where it was first made or invented to where the guy who actually ended up mass producing it and selling it to Parker Brothers.
Because he stole it.
Well, basically,
he stole it from the woman. He was like, hey, can I take the instructions home so that I can learn this game?
Well, no. It was a lot different than that.
She still has the patent on it.
They broke it down even further.
Yep.
How it changed from her to where it got to him, how all these different people had changed it along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he got it, he completely changed it as well. But
she still had the patent on it.
Fair enough. But the concept she was teaching was how capitalism is bad. When all guys sell it, So, John, did you watch any movies?
Why is it red now?
Why is what red now?
The little
line. Oh, I think it just...
instead of gray. Is that so that you can know where you left off?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I would assume it's representing the new recording. Yeah. I don't know.
I watched a couple of movies.
Yeah.
One of them I was kind of disappointed in. It was called Battle of the Sexes. It was on HBO.
Oh, is that the tennis one?
Yes.
Okay.
And see, when I first saw the previews, I thought this was going to be like a comedy spoof type of thing. But no, this was a legitimate... real, not a documentary, but it had footage from back in the 70s when this originally happened. And this was the famous tennis match between Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs, where she was fighting for equality because, like, the people at the major tennis thing, and I'm not even going to PGA tour or something, you know, whatever the big tennis.
Right.
The Wimbledon people, I don't
know.
Sure. But they... like, they had a men's tournament coming up, and they were offering the winner, like, $100,000 or something like that. And they had a women's tournament, and they were offering the women's winner, like, $12,000 or something. It was like, a sixth or an eighth of what they were offering the men. And she wasn't having any of that, so she organized all the other female tennis players, and they all broke off and did their own thing. Got their own sponsorship, wouldn't play under the men's banner.
Right.
And so then Bobby Riggs, played by Steve Carell, he was older at the time. He was like in his 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
But he challenged her. He was like, come on, let's do a thing where, you know, the best men's tennis star goes against the woman's tennis star and I'll whoop your ass. He was a heel. Like,
oh,
he
massively.
Tried to be a heel.
Yeah.
He was the chauvinist pig, you know.
Right.
He tried to get people going. And this was back in the 70s, so there wasn't a lot. Like, women's lib had just come around. There wasn't a lot of support for this kind of stuff. It was okay. I like I said.
There's nothing about the trailer that made me want to watch it.
Yeah, well, when I saw the trailer and I saw all the old-fashioned stuff, I thought that this was going to be another, like, Will Ferrell... jokey kind of thing, because I saw Steve Carell and I'm like, oh, this is going to be funny. Nope, it was dead serious.
Yeah.
So it was, meh. I didn't.
Yeah.
I watched. It was on Hulu and it was under my suggestions. And one day I was just like, screw it. I'll put it on in the background while I play a game. I watched the Power Rangers movie.
Oh, gosh. How'd that go?
Not good, Mike.
Yeah, well, Rube loved it.
Not good.
It was amazing.
No, it was not good. It was not good at all. I wanted to like it. The opening scene, like, it's this massive battlefield, and the Zordon is crawling across the battlefield, defeated in his Red Ranger costume, you know, the original Red Ranger. Rita has turned on them, and she's the Green Ranger, and she's coming after them.
Yep.
His whole team has died, and he buries her with a meteorite, basically has her killed by hitting her with a meteorite. They somehow end up on the Earth 65 million years ago. That's why the Zords look like dinosaurs, because, you know, when they first came to Earth, they took on the form of the most powerful creatures there.
I guess that at least makes a little sense.
Yeah.
As to why in future times robots from space look like dinosaurs.
Yep. Yep.
I like how they explain that.
Yeah, they did a good job. The teenagers were just little assholes.
Yeah.
I wanted nothing to do with them. It wasn't a horrible movie, but I just didn't like it. Yeah. You know, I watched all the way through it and just went, meh.
Okay.
That opening scene made me want to like it, though. It seemed like it was going to be cool. It was not.
Okay.
It took them most of the movie before they ever even got into their armor, and it just wasn't that enjoyable. But I did watch one movie that I really enjoyed.
Okay, what was this?
It was on Netflix,
all right.
And it was called Anon, A-N-O-N.
I watched this when it came out back in May.
It was great.
Yes, it was. I told you about it then.
I really enjoyed it.
Clive Owen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Amanda Seyfried.
Oh, That's funny.
And the whole, you know, you can see everything. It's like Google Glass is implanted in your head and it records everything. I really enjoyed it. It was so low budget.
Yeah.
But it was really good.
He's a police detective, right?
Yep.
He's trying to find someone who's not on the system.
Well, that can hack the system.
Okay, that's right. Hack the system.
Because this person, like, hacks the system so that before she, I'll say that now, before she kills someone, she hacks into their system so that instead of seeing through their own eyes, they're seeing through her eyes.
Right.
Which is really messed up.
Yes.
So, like, their last vision is seeing themselves about to get murdered, which is disorienting for them because they're all, like, flailing around, like, what are you doing? Huh?
And it shows the downfall of having something implanted in your eyes because it can make, like, she can hack into it and, like, make you see the floor is different than it really is.
Yeah.
Like, you're running downstairs and you think you're going to hit a flat spot, but instead you're more stairs and... Or you're running and there's stairs when you see no stair. You know what I mean? Just something like that happens.
Or like he's on a train track, a train platform, and he's surrounded by people, but they all look like enemy combatants, and they're really just regular people.
Right.
And he doesn't see the train coming because she chooses to make him not see the train coming, and he gets clipped by it.
Right. Like, it's kind of screwed up.
It's a good suspenseful movie.
It's a great flick, yeah.
There's no real mystery to it. It's not one of these, like, you know, oh, you got to figure out who done it. They tell you right off. But, yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, Netflix has had some pretty good success with their original movies.
Yep.
Certain ones. Like, some have been garbage.
Yes.
But, like, some have been very good.
Yeah.
Any other movies?
Ew.
I have two other movies to chat about.
Okay.
I'm just going to encompass them into one chat. I watched the two Batman and Robin cartoons, the one with Adam West and Burt Ward.
Okay.
I haven't watched those yet. They're both on Amazon Prime.
Okay. God, it sounds like you're going to sign up for a permanent Amazon Prime after this.
Nope.
Nope.
They're really good. I enjoyed both of them. It really is super campy, like the original series, including Batman being the over-the-top, you know, Boy Scout.
Yeah.
About everything. And what I thought was kind of cool was in the second movie, the one with Batman and Robin versus Two-Face, Two-Face was around back when the series happened in the 60s. I looked it up because I wanted to know why he wasn't on the original TV series.
Right.
And the original TV series, they thought his character was way too dark. And it was actually, they had Clint Eastwood had been cast as Two-Face. Two-Face for the series, and they were actually, initially they weren't going to do him, but then when they decided they were in 1968 that they were going to have Two-Face be on the show, but then it got canceled. But he had been cast to play Two-Face before it was canceled.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah, right? But I enjoyed it a lot.
1968 Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
But I thought it was cool to see, like in, we got the standard villains, Joker, Penguin, Riddler, Catwoman, and I love that Julie Newmar was voicing Catwoman. That kind of made it even cooler.
Yeah.
Adam West and Burt Ward, you know, we got Aunt May. I'm Aunt May.
I'm like, what?
Aunt, what's her face? Annabelle or whatever the hell their aunt was. Harriet.
Who's aunt?
Batman, the one that was only on the TV series. Don't remember
that
one?
Part, no.
Batman and Robin. Damn it. Batman and Robin versus Two-Face. Now I gotta go back and look it up. Aunt Harriet.
Okay.
Aunt Harriet Cooper was a character that was created for the Batman TV show only. She never appeared in anything else. She lived in the house there with Adam West and Burt Ward or whatever, with Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
She lived in Bruce Wayne's mansion.
Oh, okay.
And they always had to keep her identity secret from her. And in both of these movies, she's in them again, and she always, like, makes reference that she understands their secret, but before she can tell them, they, like, dash away or run off or whatever. So.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know. I just enjoyed them both.
Good.
I thought they were good. I thought it was cool to see a villain that wasn't in the original run. Hugo Strange is also in the second one. Clearly that was a nod to Harley Quinn, his assistant. Same Harley Quinn style voice and everything.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I liked them.
Nice.
And that's it. I got no more TV or movies to talk about. I just have, like, trailers and news and stuff.
Trailers and news galore.
Yep.
Sounds good. What do you got?
Well, I don't know what I'm excited about the most, so I'm just going to start out with the announcement of season 3 of The Toys That Made Us. Have you seen this?
No.
Oh, my God.
What are they tackling?
All right, so Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Okay.
My Little Pony.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I like the Barbie episode, and I like the Hello Kitty episode, so I imagine
I'm
My Little Pony.
Fully looking forward to the My Little Pony.
And wrestling figures.
That's it? Just 4?
That's the only 4 they've announced so far.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No release date or anything, but they only did 4 episodes in the first 2 seasons.
Each. So I'm picturing the Power Rangers announcement. Rude going,
yeah.
The wrestling one, you doing the same thing. Yeah. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Paul was probably
Paul's there. Was my, and My Little Pony, Addison, and all the bronies out there, happy as hell.
Yep.
I still love Addison at the movies last year. We went and saw that My Little Pony movie, looking at that guy, brony, dressed up head to toe, face paint, sparkles, a whole nine yards, going, that man likes My Little Pony a lot.
Yes, he does, honey.
So that's pretty cool news, right?
That is cool.
There's a bunch of, like the CW had all their trailers come out.
Yeah. And then there was, like, The Flash was the one that I liked the most.
Well, the thing is, most of the footage in all these trailers was
hype footage.
It was the footage. It's stuff from we've already seen.
Not for The Flash. Well, Flash had a lot of
Flash
stuff that
had,
was
like,
new.
Okay. Fair enough. Like, Legends had a mix. Supergirl was mostly stuff we'd already seen, but some new
stuff.
With
the voiceover of Agent Liberty.
Yeah, exactly.
Which he's going to be an interesting...
So, that's the
thing. He's turning the whole planet against her, basically.
Okay, so it's season 4 of Supergirl. Agent Liberty is your villain.
Yep.
It's played by Sam Witwer.
Yeah, fucking love
him. Played Davis Bloom, the paramedic on Smallville, who was Doomsday.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so I don't know if you knew that or
yes,
not.
Yes, I did. Yep.
He was, their version of Doomsday in season 8.
Being Human, loved him. So, Star Killer in both of the Force Unleashed games.
So I like the fact that they're going with that. They're keeping that Battlestar. Superman alumni thing going.
Yes.
With using actors or actresses that have already played on other Superman properties.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to do that with Chloe from Smallville.
Yeah, she's probably
sure she's in jail.
Yeah. She's
sex trafficking and such.
Branding girls with initials.
Yeah. Kristen Krupp, maybe, but, I think she's still going to testify for her role.
She said that got out of that.
Yeah. She was only there for 5 years, so, you know.
Right, but she got out before, like, the bad stuff started happening.
Right,
But her name, her initials were still branded.
She's kind of tarnished.
Yeah. So, anyways.
Supergirl also this season will be having the first transgender character, which is interesting because... I don't know specifically who the actress is, but she looks like a Hollywood starlet actress.
Speaking of transgender, going back to watching Secret City, the one on Netflix, there's an actor on there that's clearly a man who's becoming a woman.
Okay.
And at first when I'm watching this, I'm sitting there and I'm watching it, and I'm like, that's clearly a dude dressed as a woman. Is this going to be addressed at any point? What's wrong?
My iPad just turned off and then said activation required.
Huh, interesting.
Interesting is one word for it.
Is it? Are you locked out?
I don't know. We'll find out.
But anyways.
It may take a few minutes to activate my iPad.
Okay.
I've had this thing for 5 years, but, it may take a few minutes to activate it.
So they eventually it is addressed that it's a dude. But it's just at first, like, it was never acknowledged or said. I'm just like, someone going to mention this at all? Anyways. So what's the Hollywood actress? Do you know?
I don't remember. I just remember that there was like Kevin Smith was interviewing them all and was talking about that. I don't know. She seemed like a typical Hollywood starlet, not somebody who is actively transitioning. Okay. So I don't know.
Let's see, what else? Oh, Legends. The only thing I'm going to say is Constantine in capital letters. Forgetting Constantine. It's really all I care about. I heard Amara is coming back, the actress that played Amara, but not as Amara. She's playing a different character.
Oh, okay.
So, that whole business.
I was getting tired of her anyway. I was hoping she'd be gone, but... Yeah. Flash, we got to see The Ring...
Yes.
His daughter gives him the ring, and she's like, here, it's a fan favorite. And he puts his hand out, and you're like,
yeah!
But again, it's hype stuff.
The villain is Cicada.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read about who Cicada is, because I looked it up.
He's the guy who inherited the Bane mask from Christopher Nolan.
It says here, during a thunderstorm sometime in the early 20th century, David Hirsch murdered his wife. Regretting what he had done, he sought to end his own life, only to be struck by lightning. He had a vision that he had been chosen to live forever, and he would bring his wife back as well. Starting as a cult, his followers killed people who had been saved by the Flash, and Cicada used the energy of these people to live forever. So I think it's going to be a spin on that, because we see the...
But that's an awful lot of murder for CW.
Well, that's why I think it'll be a spin on that, because we see the lightning bolt thing,
yeah,
and it appears to be drawing power from something and lighting up.
It looks kind of like the Flash's lightning bolt, but it's also like
right.
singed and yeah. like it's been cooked.
So I think it'll be a play on that.
Gotcha.
But it's not.
I still hold that the Flash could be better if they had multiple villains per season.
Yes.
Which they've tried in the past and it worked really well. Instead of having just like one villain and then every week it's trying to thwart that villain. No, just do like Batman used to do, you know? Every week it's a different villain. There's no one villain that's running the whole show. Just give us different guys. Let him fight different people at different times and don't have one overarching villain that he's got to solve by the end of the season.
I don't think it worked this season.
No, it didn't. It didn't work last season with Savitar either.
What news? Any other CW news that we want to talk about?
Let's see. No. I did see that Fox announced some of the storylines coming up for Family Guy this season.
Okay, random, but go ahead.
I thought so, too. I'm just like, why are they putting this out there? But okay. Apparently, we're going to start off the season with Brian getting married to a dying woman. Not sure exactly why it matters that she's dying or why he decided to get married to a dying woman, but that's part of it. Peter will physically fight President Trump at some point during the season. That's going to go over well. I'm picturing the giant chicken fights. And they're actually going to get into Quagmire's sexual abuse of women, tackling the Me Too thing. So that should be interesting.
Speaking of Seth MacFarlane,
yeah,
we got the trailer for the upcoming season of The Orville.
The Orville.
So
I missed that show a lot.
There was a lot of new footage in that.
Yes.
I don't care. It looks amazing.
It sure does.
I'm so excited about
it. And they're still holding true to that. We are a serious sci-fi show with humor in it.
Yeah, that was the thing that I think caught us both off guard, and probably many other people that watched it, was the fact that it wasn't your typical Seth MacFarlane.
Right.
Production or whatever. It was a lot different. As a matter of fact, it was almost just like, this is the Star Trek I've been looking for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still have no interest in paying money to watch Discovery.
No. Even though they said that this next season they're going to have Captain Pike, they're going to have Spock. Don't charge me an extra $6 a month to watch your show.
Is it going to be Zachary as Quinto as Spock? Then fuck it.
And it's not Leonard Nimoy because he passed away.
Right, right. He's dead. Rest in peace.
Yes.
I saw a trailer for a Purge TV series.
I heard about that.
10 episodes on the USA Network. It didn't thrill me.
See, it's on the USA Network.
Unless USA Network's selling it to get edgy. Well, they do have Mr. Robot.
They do.
So,
Did you see the thing? Was it Jimmy Kimmel? I think it was one of the late night hosts. I want to say Jimmy Kimmel, but he was trying to promote the Museum of Ice Cream that's in the town that they record in, and they sent Mr. Robot, they said Rami Malek too.
Yeah, no, I did not see that.
It's funny as hell. It's just a skit. It's like him walking through there looking like Elliot, and he's got the hood up and everything, but he's constantly like licking an ice cream cone, so he's got the interior monologue going about, you know, nihilism and everything, but then he'll just be like licking an ice cream. It's great.
Yeah, that does look cool.
Yeah. But yeah, The Purge on USA, no. I saw a trailer for a movie called Overlord.
I, too, saw that trailer.
That looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's like a war horror film in World War II.
See, I'm not a big war guy.
I like them.
Yep, I'm not a big war movie guy, but watching this one in the supernatural part
looks
really good.
I think it's on D-Day, paratroopers landing.
Yep.
Discover Nazi scientists basically making zombies.
Yeah.
And they got to battle them.
Well, zombie super soldiers, because some of them are like intelligent and strong. Right. And, yeah.
It's not just straight up zombies, but it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah.
decent cast from what I remember.
Yep, yep. That one led me to, it was one of those, like, I was watching it, it was like, up next, and I was like, okay. The Catcher Was a Spy.
Oh, no.
It's got Paul Rudd as a baseball catcher who gets recruited as a spy in Cold War days, I believe.
Huh.
Looks pretty interesting. Definitely nothing I'll go to the movies
yeah,
to
no,
see,
but still.
Yeah, sounds. It looked pretty cool.
I saw a trailer at the movies last night for The Girl in the Spider's Web.
Oh, yeah.
Looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That trailer looks really, really good.
Yes, I agree.
It was actually, for a change, there's a lot of good trailers last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They had a new trailer for the upcoming Queen biopic.
Oh, yes.
Dude, this trailer makes it look even better.
Yes. When he's like, there can only be one flaming queen in here, or
yeah.
one hysterical queen.
Exactly,
there can only
yeah.
be one hysterical queen in here. I was like, yeah!
But, man, that movie, Rami Malek is Freddie Mercury. Yeah. Like he was born to play the role or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. But it looks
I can't wait for that
pretty
movie.
Damn amazing.
Yep.
And it was, even the trailer was like a little sad.
Yeah.
Because you know he dies.
Right, exactly.
You know, so.
And that he leaves behind this legacy of this amazing music that
yeah.
even to this day, anybody, if somebody goes, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Everybody starts in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like
yeah.
Sweet Caroline.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
Anybody hears, bum, bum, bum.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I saw that trailer. That looked amazingly awesome. They had the new, that Steve Carell where he plays with dolls because he's got beat up, no memory trailer. You seen that one?
Nope.
My wife wants to go see it. I'm okay with it.
Is it a drama or a comedy?
It's a drama.
Oh.
He plays a guy that gets beat up, and he has no idea, and for no reason, and he has no memory of anything happened from before his assault.
Okay.
And so, but he's uses art of these, just watch it. Let's just look up the trailer. I don't even want to talk about it.
All right.
But, yeah, so that, I was surprised, like, before Mamma Mia, they had the Girl in the Spider's Web trailer.
Yeah.
Because the trailer is powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really good. Really, really, really good.
Have you seen the trailer for Patient Zero?
No. What's that about?
It's the future, and some humans have evolved into basically streamlined killing machines. Like, you don't want to say zombie, but they're kind of like the 28 Days Later zombie types.
Okay.
And there's one person who can speak to them and is trying to get to the root cause and trying to help get rid of them. It's Matt Smith.
Oh.
Yes, doing an American accent.
Oh.
Yeah. And I believe Stanley Tucci is one of the lead zombies that he's interrogating at one point. Natalie Dormer's in it.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good.
Hey, you know, speaking of Doctor Who.
Oh.
I saw a clip of the Muppets live show at the O2 Theater in London.
You are not going where I thought you were going.
I know. And they did a Pigs in Space, and Doctor Who, David Tennant, showed up.
That's awesome.
They made a comment about, like, there's a craft approaching or something like that, and the pigs in space are going to take over the world. And then you heard the phase-in noise from the TARDIS,
uh-huh.
and then David Tennant walked out on stage in his full doctor gear, and the people lost their shit.
Nice.
And then he did this planet is protected, and on and on and on. It was awesome. Someone, like, recorded it with their phone, and there's, like, a 6 or 7 minute clip out there on YouTube I just saw. Maybe even 10 minutes. I don't know. But it was pretty great.
Speaking of which, I heard that David Tennant found out that Jodie Whittaker was going to be the new Doctor.
Yeah.
Because Steve Moffat came to him and said, hey, just so you know, the person that they're going to have be the next Doctor is probably going to ring you up here pretty soon to get some advice. And he's like, oh, great. And then a little while later, he got a phone call from Jodie Whittaker, and she's like, hey, it's Jodie. And he goes, oh, yeah, because they were on Broadchurch together.
Yeah.
He was just like, oh, hey, what are you doing? She goes, I need some advice. He goes, yeah, what's that about? She's like, I'm the new Doctor. And he's like, are you kidding me? So that's a cool way to find out.
That is a cool way to find out, yeah.
I was listening to a podcast today that was called Imaginary Worlds,
yep.
and they talk about different worlds that have been created. One of them, they were talking about Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Really good look. You know, it was just like a half an hour long, but I got to say, at one point, they were talking to, they had an interview with this person who was going through a transgender change and said that it was at a really hard point in their life, and, you know, they didn't know how their friends, their family were going to take it and stuff like that. And then they were fans of Doctor Who, and they saw the episode where Matt Smith regenerates into Peter Capaldi.
Yeah.
And it really spoke to them because he was changing. And then they played the audio clip on the podcast of Matt Smith doing his little speech, which is like, you know, we all change in the end, you know, yeah. and that's a good thing, but it's important that you always remember who you were, and I'll always remember who you know, when I was this doctor. Dude, I'm sitting there at work, and I'm, like, tearing up a little bit listening to that speech. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm glad that I had my back to everybody, because I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh. I mean, it was such a good speech.
Yeah.
You know, it's Matt Smith. It's his final bow. And I mean, it's right up there with the next episode when he's talking to her on the phone. And he's like, you know, you got Peter Capaldi who's sitting there saying, you can't even see me, can you? I'm standing right in front of you.
Yeah.
And then she picks up the phone and it's Matt Smith. And he's like, look, I know you're confused, but that is me.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yes.
Between that one and his regeneration speech, you know, we're all stories in the end. Just remember who you were before you were this. Dude, I was losing it.
Oh, David Tennant's speech when he regenerates.
I don't want to go.
Yeah.
Some of the speeches in that, they also played a clip of Capaldi when he was saying, you know, I do this because it's right and because it's kind. And then I think of him leaving when he's saying, you know, I'll always be kind. And I'm like, ah.
Yeah, they do some good stuff there. There's some good moments on that show.
Yeah.
Some good moments on that show.
And back to stuff.
So, speaking of Doctor Who.
Yes.
We got the little teaser trailer. It didn't really tell us a whole lot. We just know that there's going to be three companions.
Yep.
That's about it.
Yep. And her little voiceover, when she's like, this is all new, and it's different worlds and different times and different things. So if I ask real nicely, will you be my best friends?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
No, that's great. That's so Doctor Who-ish.
It looks pretty cool. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah. It was like 40 seconds long. We didn't get much of
anything. We just basically, we see, oh, these are the three companions.
Yep.
These are going to be her three companions on the show. I'm sure, obviously, we'll find out how they become companions.
Right.
But
it was more than we got from that teaser before.
Yes, the one where it's just kind of like slow motion seeing them.
Although
weird, magic-y things happening.
People have dissected that, and they found all kinds of ties to Matt Smith's Doctor.
Yeah.
You know, the magazine that one of the people was reading was one that Smith was reading, and the diner that they were at, and the fact that every time it was that energy where she was walking in or out, it looked like the crack in the universe. I mean, it's going
to
be good.
Well, I'm sure there's all kinds of Easter eggs. Oh, we get this. We saw her sonic screwdriver in one still photo they had.
Yeah.
So, a couple more things, I guess. I saw the Iron Fist Season 2 trailer. Pretty generic. Nothing really revealed.
I didn't even watch the trailer.
Yeah, it's not worth watching, really.
I like how we're kind of steering around until we get to the best ones at the end.
I watched a new trailer for a movie called Hellfest.
Okay.
Looks kind of solid. Good horror movie.
Yeah.
Comes out in September. It's a horror film. Takes place at a horror theme park during its Halloween Horror Nights type of thing. Except there's a costume serial killer that begins killing people, and people don't know if it's part of the attraction or if it's really happening type of thing. So it's kind of cool. It's one of those, you go to complain about it, but you've signed a waiver because you're there to be ultimately scared.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha.
So it's kind of like, yeah, I could see how someone can make a horror movie about people getting murdered in a place like that.
Yep.
I saw a trailer for a new movie on Netflix, comes out in August. Sorry, not movie, TV show. 13 episodes, comes on August 10th. It's called Insatiable. Did you see this?
Yeah, it'll be lucky if it sees the light of day. There's petitions going around to get it pulled.
Really?
Yep.
Why?
Fat shaming. Because they hired a cute, thin actress to play a fat person who basically loses all the weight.
In one episode.
Yeah.
Right. And she loses all the weight because she gets her jaw broken, jaw wired shut.
Yep.
And she loses all the weight, and now she takes out her pet of revenge against everybody that wronged her when she was fat.
It's the same mentality because we were supposed to get a Heather's reboot. And that got squashed because that's basically teaching people that being a bitch and killing other people in high school is good. And I guess with all the school shootings, they didn't want to do that. So that got squashed. This one, there's petitions and there's people who are trying to get it.
It'll come out.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to be great.
Right. If anything, you know, this will... I saw a preview for a movie that comes out this Friday on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
Extinction.
What's that?
It's Michael Peña. And I can't remember who the female is, but basically he has these dreams of aliens coming down and destroying the planet. And his wife thinks he's crazy. And then it starts happening. And so she's like, well, wait a minute. You need to tell me what happened in your dream so that we can live through this. Because in his dreams, she always died. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lizzie Kaplan.
Yeah, there you go. I like her a lot. So, yeah, that'll be pretty cool.
That does sound cool. I like
comes out Friday.
Huh.
I thought it was out this last week, and I was all excited. And I went to search for it, and they were like, no, it comes out on the 27th. So,
I saw a trailer for a movie. It's already out, apparently. It's called Nightmare Cinema. Five strangers converge on a haunted movie theater owned by Mickey Rourke.
Oh, wow.
He's a projectionist. And once inside, they witness a series of screenings that shows them their deepest fears and darkest secrets. Over five tales by five different, like, kind of big-name horror
directors. It's a creep show kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like a creep show. It's an anthology movie, yeah. So it's kind of...
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'll look for it at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of creep show, they have a TV series coming to Shudder.
Yeah.
So it's probably just going to be like Tales from the Crypt, I would assume.
Yep.
This creep show is an homage to Tales from the Crypt.
Yep.
Did you watch the trailer for Deadly Class? On Sci-Fi?
Yes.
Oh, that looks great.
Yeah.
2019 based on that graphic novel.
Yeah, that looks damn good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Saw a trailer for a monster movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Was it The King of Monsters?
The King of Monsters.
And
part of me wanted to, like, I wasn't sure if it should be called Godzilla, The King of Monsters, or Godzilla versus The King of Monsters. Because right at the very end, when you see Rodian come out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but Rodian's not even his biggest nemesis. It's King Ghidorah, the three-headed.
True.
But yeah, okay, so I did some background on this. It comes out May 31st, 2019. It's the sequel to the Godzilla flick that came out in 2014.
And you could tell that they really heard everybody's complaints that you barely got to see any of Godzilla because he's in a lot of the trailer.
Yeah, he is. This is the 35th film in the Godzilla series. of Godzilla
Are they
franchise.
Counting the one with Matthew Broderick?
Yup.
Oh.
Even though it sucks.
Even though it was a T-Rex and Raptors?
Right. This film features the monsters Mothra, Rodan, and King Ghidorah.
Yep.
Which is the three-headed monster, his biggest rival. So that's kind of cool. This is the third film in the new Legacy Films Monsterverse.
Okay.
Godzilla was the first. Kong Skull Island in 2017 was the second. This will be the third. And then the fourth comes out May 2020, King Kong vs. Godzilla. Or Godzilla vs. Kong.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. The trailer looks cool.
It does look cool. I like the story behind it.
Me too. And
like, if we don't awaken all the elders, then the earth will be destroyed.
Yeah, like Godzilla, Mothra, Rodan, they're all the titans. And this earth was made by them, and they're in hiding. And now the earth is going through a time frame. It's going through a phase or a cycle where unless these titans come out to stop what's happening, the earth will be destroyed. Kind of cool. Kind of cool. It looks cool. I'm hopefully I get to see it at the drive-in like I saw Godzilla at the drive-in because it comes out in May.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't care. I'm all jacked up. I love monster movies. I just watched Godzilla versus All Monsters or whatever it is they had where like all the monsters show up. They had it on the not Chiller. Comet TV. One of the channels I get off the antenna. And I was like, I just sat and watched it and loved every second of it.
The other day when I turned on Netflix, the top one that it had for me was Godzilla 2, the animated one.
Yes,
Looked pretty badass.
There's a third one coming out.
Nice.
There's three in that series. That's not included in the franchises, though, those cartoons. So I got 1, 2, 3, 4 trailers we kind of saw. But before I get there, I want to talk about a movie I didn't know was happening, but I found out was happening. It's just called Terminator 6. It's got a release date of November 22nd, 2019.
Wait, is this the one where he took back over?
With James Cameron helming it, yeah. It stars Arnold Schwarzenegger and Linda Hamilton. This is a direct sequel to Terminator 2 Judgment Day and disregarding all others, including the reboot they just did.
Yep. Because James Cameron got the rights back, and he was like, motherfuckers, I'm going to reboot everything.
Yep. So even the TV series they did, anything after Judgment Day is all alternate storyline, alternate universe, doesn't happen.
Which he really has a lot to live up to. None of those were that great.
Actually, I didn't mind Terminator Genesis so much with the reboot.
I didn't either. I liked the TV series for the most part.
Yeah.
Was really sad to see it go. But... you know, for him to say, no, Everything else sucks. My vision is gone. Like, okay, that third one better be damn good.
Yeah.
I mean, Terminator 2 was amazing for its day.
Right.
However.
Right. It's been a long time.
It's been 20 plus years.
Yeah.
No, it's been 30
plus years. It's been 30 years, I think, yeah. No other characters from the franchise or in the film, besides Schwarzenegger and Hamilton, you know, the T-800. Yeah, T whatever it is. And then, you know, Sarah Connor. John Connor's in there with archive footage only and like a child or a likeness actor, but he's not a central character in it based on what I was reading.
What's Edward Norton doing?
I don't know.
He can't be that busy.
Edward Furlong was.
Edward Furlong, thank you. Yeah,
I don't know.
Edward Norton can't be that busy either.
No. But yeah,
passing on the Hulk stupidly.
I had no idea this was coming. I don't care. I'm a big old fan of.
Oh, yeah.
But, give his name, but you know what I'm talking about.
But think about it. We had Edward Norton. Can you picture Edward Norton being the Hulk as well? You know, in these Marvel movies.
Terminator 2, 1991. So 27 years ago, it came out.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. Anywho, I don't know which three to talk about first. Yes, I do. Aquaman. What'd you think of that?
I thought it looked pretty.
Yeah.
I thought that it's definitely James Wan.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
This was Fast and Furious underwater.
Yep.
For all the hype around having Black Manta, I wanted to say Black Mamba, but Black Manta, you know, saying, oh, we got the first looks of his suit and blah, he was barely in there.
Yeah. I'll watch it. I don't know if I'll go to the theater and watch it.
I'll watch it as well.
But I'll definitely watch it.
Yeah. It's still that DC universe. I know Morang probably jizzed in his shorts when he saw it because he's all about Jason Momoa and this version of Aquaman. I thought that this version of Aquaman, even in Justice League, was a little little much. But
well, we'll get his backstory finally.
Yeah, his dad knocked up a mermaid.
Right.
The end.
Well, I mean,
that's his backstory.
Clearly, more to it than that.
No, they showed it right in the trailer. My father was a lighthouse keeper. My mother was a mermaid. The end. And then some bullies try to pick on him, and he almost drowns the entire class because he gets sharks to ram their head into the aquarium.
Well.
And if they didn't drown, the shards of glass probably would have killed them. So he almost killed his entire field trip because he couldn't control his powers.
Well, because he was being picked on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what jerks get.
Yeah. That's what almost everybody got. Almost everybody got killed because of those two jerks. Anyway, it'll be great.
I don't know which one to go with next.
Well, since we're in the DC universe.
Oh, Titans?
Oh, I was going to say Shazam. But
oh.
Titans? Yeah, Titans.
Okay, so DC Titans TV series is going to be exclusive to that new DC universe online streaming. And unlike Star Trek Discovery, this actually makes me want to watch it.
Yes.
The trailer looked great. It's essentially Robin, Raven, Starfire, and Beast Boy form the Titans to stop a threat to the planet.
Which really sucks that they couldn't include, Cyborg.
Yeah.
Because he's already off in the Justice League movies. You'd think they could have thrown in Blue Beetle, Kid Flash, but, you know, they've got their own thing. I would have liked to have seen them mix it up a little bit. Beast Boy looks cool.
Beast Boy looks cool.
Raven seems, like, dark and... Like, she's usually a lot calmer, but anyway.
And Robin says, fuck Batman.
Yeah.
Really, yeah.
Like, not even bleeped out. I was like, well, there we go.
I saw that.
They just like, set the barometer.
Yeah, I'm like, what channel is this going to be on?
What channel?
Yeah. Oh, it's not going to be in the DC Universe, yeah. So, and they already have a sequel planned. That's going to pick up right where this left off. Doom Patrol, I think it is, with different characters.
Doom Patrol is a different group.
Right.
Controls completely different.
That,
but yeah, it'll be a different series.
They're going to be established in them in this.
Because Beast Boy spent time with Doom Patrol as well as the Titans.
So I was reading about that too. So, but
Doom Patrol is some messed up heroes.
Yeah.
They're messed up.
And then
I'm looking forward to this.
Shazam.
Zack Snyder was probably crying as he was watching this trailer.
Yeah, because
it's like not just crying, but like weeping like a baby.
Yeah.
What are they doing to my universe?
Making it awesome, apparently.
Yeah.
Zachary Levi as Shazam.
The grown-up,
as the superhero.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty damn cool.
This definitely had a much more goofy feel to it.
Yes.
Than anything else we've seen out of the DC.
Tremendously goofy.
Like, this makes Cisco seem tame.
Yeah. But it's basically a kid who gets superpowers.
Billy Batson.
He doesn't know what to do with them or how to handle them.
Yeah, because he's a kid.
And then he's got to find out real fast with how to use them and everything. So it's almost like you get some, like, parts from the movie Big.
Yeah.
You know, like, what do I do with
your superpower? Let's see if you can fly. And he, like, goes straight up and then just, So you got Big, you got Greatest American Hero.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got the goofiness of Zachary Levi. You know,
hey, your phone's recharged. What the hell? Yeah,
it looks good.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm assuming that the next trailer will be a little bit more serious because we can see any of Mark Strong as the villain.
No.
So we're gonna have to see that. We've already heard years ago, and they're still talking about it, that The Rock is eventually going to be playing Black Adam.
Right.
And he said, no, I will not be in this. But you'll notice they had that publicity photo of Shazam sitting there drinking the soda outside the convenience store with his buddy.
Yeah.
And then The Rock posted something online where he was drinking a soda, like, you know, don't forget about me. So.
Right.
Did you know The Rock's like 46 years old?
Yeah.
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 It's amazing.
Yeah, he's a good-looking man.
He is. He's really a good-looking man.
He's built. Yep. He's got a good physique.
Yep.
I will say he's got an amazing smile.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Oh, yes, he does.
I only got one more thing to talk about.
Yep. I mean, I've got some news stuff, but I just got one more trailer.
Sure. Go with whatever you want to go with.
Well, let's just finish out the trailers.
Okay, sure.
Glass.
Yeah. So this is not what I expected it to be.
No.
Like.
No.
Like, I knew what the premise was. It's going to be like Mr. Glass is back and Bruce Willis' character is back and then. And
maybe they're trying
to character from Split's in there, and you think Bruce Willis is going to try to stop,
which they call him Split,
right?
So
Bruce Willis is going to try to stop Split, and then maybe Glass is going to help Split, and da 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 da. So I expected that. Instead, we open with like they're in a three-way therapy session, like a group therapy session,
with a therapist who specializes in dealing with people who think they
have superpowers and super abilities. Like they're in an asylum. They've been institutionalized in a group therapy session.
And right off the bat, Split is channeling Patricia.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, that's ridiculous. Oh.
So it looks awesome, though.
This trailer, like, the speed at which we've gotten this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay? We saw the first image, and then we saw the poster, and now we've got a full trailer.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it comes out in January. I mean, it's only a few months away.
I'm so excited for this.
This looks awesome.
I love that they got the actress from Split to come back, and she's sitting there looking at him, and he's like, oh, no way!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and the whole premise is basically that, you know, heroes versus villains, and... Yeah. I'm surprised that at this point in my life, in 2018, I am so stoked for an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
I know, me too. I'm surprised about that myself. But it looks great.
Yes, it does.
It looks very good.
So a couple pieces of news.
Sure.
Little fun ones. After the romping success of the Kickstarter for Super Troopers 2, the boys announced they're working on a third one already.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's going to be called Super Troopers 3 Winter Soldiers.
Nice. That's an awesome title.
Pardon. Gorn Vishnik recently tweeted or put up on Instagram a photo of himself standing in front of Santa Clarita Diet that said, welcome back. And he was pointing at it, and he's going to be in season 3.
Oh.
But he also said in there, also, exciting timeless news coming soon. But he didn't say what it was.
Oh, I don't care. If it's exciting, that means it's good.
I don't know if that means Netflix picked them up.
Somebody had to. I hope so.
Or they're getting a movie, because they said maybe a movie to wrap things up.
Yeah. Anything.
Timeless news coming.
Awesome. Santa Clara Diet, I love. It's a great show. It's going to be cool to see him on the show. But, timeless. Well, it's timeless.
I agree with you. However, I will say that they are two different things. and I love them both for what they are. Because Santa Clarita Diet, that's one of those shows that, like with Happy Endings, I just sat there and I watched episode after episode after episode and just wanted to go back to the beginning and rewatch it again. Watching them with the Nazis in that storage unit.
Oh, my God.
And he calls her, like, you know, big nose Jew cunt. And she looks at her husband and she's like, really? And he goes, okay, go ahead. I mean, that was just... I mean, go ahead.
I mean, they're bad people.
Yeah.
I just love the whole Philian talking head aspect of season two.
Yes.
And how at the end, when the police officer sees, you know, like... Yeah. Loved it. I loved the Nathan Fillion talking head aspect of that. It was so great.
My last thing for news, I'm going to go into this a little bit. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but James Gunn.
Yeah.
Because it's starting to ripple outwards.
Yeah.
You know, it started with James Gunn. Then it went on to Dan Harmon. It's moving on to Trevor Noah. There are basically some assholes that are on that are Breitbart supporters that are on 4chan and the Reddit subforums, and they are purposely trying to fuck over certain Hollywood people.
Right.
A lot of it, they have said, is because of Roseanne being fired.
Right.
She's not helping her case much.
Right.
Because, you know, she tried to say that it was Ambien that made her make that racist tweet.
And I like how Ambien tweeted, our drug does a lot, but one of the side effects isn't making racist comments.
Right. And then most recently, she actually put out a video that said she didn't know the woman was black when she made the joke. Like, she's really scrambling. So, James Gunn got fired by Disney from Guardians of the Galaxy 3 because of stuff that he put up on Twitter years ago.
Yeah.
And it was raunchy. It was bad.
Yeah.
Like, I read one of them, and he basically said he was responding to The Expendables being out.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, The Expendables, the boys are back. This movie was so manly, I just fucked this pussy little bitch sitting next to me. Yeah, like the bitch he is. You know, he was trying to be edgy. He was failing. He has been good about it. He said, you know what? I did it. That was me. It's not me anymore. But Disney fired him.
How many celebrities got their assistants to go back and delete all their shit from Twitter?
Probably a lot of them. A lot of them are doing it right now.
You know, like, sincerely, like, going back years and years and years and years and years on their Twitter to delete stuff that they posted years ago. Or years ago, it was acceptable and funny, but now in this society...
Right.
Excuse me, it's like...
But like they say, once something's on the internet, it's there forever.
Right.
You know, so people can screenshot this shit and save it.
Right. It'd be like saying... Like... I don't know how to make a relation to this, but like, alright. Years ago when the comments were made, it was maybe acceptable, or even partially unacceptable then now. But it was years ago.
Yeah.
You know, Roseanne's comments
were made. It was over 10 years
ago. Roseanne's comments were made now.
Yes.
You know?
Yep. This was something that was active.
It's a lot. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, that's a lot different than what happened with James Gunn. And right. I don't know.
I don't support it at all. Like, I'm glad that he was
You don't support what at all?
Him being fired.
Okay.
You know,
yeah, I don't either.
I'm glad that he, you know, didn't get all pissy and be like, oh, fuck these guys. The people who have come out in support of him have been very nice about it. Dave Bautista, you know, he's like, this is a beautiful man. He cares about people. He cares about animals. You know,
right.
This is not right. His brother came to his defense. Michael Rooker left Twitter saying, this is ridiculous. You people are toxic. James Gunn's an amazing person. Actors and actresses keep coming out. You know what Roseanne says? I am disgusted by the number of people who are coming out to support James Gunn right now. I got fired and nobody came out to support me. What hypocrisy.
But James Gunn didn't make a racist comment 10 years ago.
Right. He didn't make it 2 weeks ago.
He made a comment. I mean, that's what I meant, 2 years ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. He made a comment about, like, fucking the little pussy bitch sitting right next to me.
Yeah. His tweets were bad. Yeah. They were. But you know what? That was in the past. We all change.
That's probably him trying, like you said, edgy humor.
You know, I remember when I was like 20 years old, I would tell people outright that I firmly believed once you hit age 50, you needed to take a mandatory driver's license test every year. Yeah. And if you couldn't pass, you didn't get to drive, period. Because there were too many old people driving out on the road.
Age 50.
I know. That was when I was 20. Yeah. I don't still believe that. I would not go around touting that. But somebody might say, oh, that's ageism. You're an asshole. So, and then Dan Harmon, the same thing happened to him. You know, they dug up an old skit that he did, a 5-minute long skit meant to make fun of Dexter. It was put out on Channel 101, which was an edgy TV thing at the time.
Yeah.
And it was not well received, and he pulled it down. Well, they dug it up, and they said, hey, look at this, look at this. At least Adult Swim has said, you know what, that's not what we look for. Fortunately, he doesn't do stuff like that now.
Right.
But Dan Harmon left Twitter because of the same thing. Because these people are going around trying to destroy...
As great as social media... As great, quote fingers, as social media is, at the same time, like, it's not used for what it's supposed to be used for sometimes, I feel like.
Right.
So
yeah, basically, I just wanted to acknowledge it and to say that from my own personal... Like, I'm glad James Gunn... said, you know, he took ownership and he said, yep, that's who I was, that's what I did, it was wrong, I regret it, I regret it every day, but I'm going to stick by what they say. I think Disney was wrong to snap fire him like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Completely. And I'm hoping that they reverse that.
Yeah.
I saw today they were like, oh, and his Starsky and Hutch show was canceled on Amazon. And then they reached out to Amazon and they were like, yeah, that was months ago. We just decided not to pick up the pilot. When we don't pick up a pilot, we don't make press releases. We just don't do it.
Right.
There were several shows that we didn't pick up.
Right.
So, no story here, people. But, yeah, James Gunn, I stand with you. You're awesome.
Yeah. Agreed.
Slither. Trauma movies. Oh, God.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's it, then?
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, thanks for... tuning back in after a couple week hiatus. And I guess that's it. I'm Superstar Mal on the Twitter machine.
I'm the Quantum Geek G33K.
That's the show.
That's all I've got to say about that.